Good morning, you're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. In Hanover at Domatex, I've run into a friend of mine, Don Finkel, who many of you know is the innovator with Anderson, one of the owners before Shaw bought it, the company responsible for bringing aluminum oxide floors to the United States, actually engineered hardwood to the United States. So, Don, thanks for sitting down with me. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Kemp.
You know, when I look at hardwood floors, sometimes it's hard for me to tell the difference between a laminate and an engineered and a solid. Now, here's a person that really understands hardwood all the way down, how it's constructed. I wanted to ask you, what have you seen that's been interesting at this show?
Well, certainly it's getting harder to tell the difference, and even I have to look a little closer nowadays to see, you know, the difference between a hardwood floor and a laminate and a luxury vinyl tile. So those looks in, I'm going to call them alternative types of flooring, are interesting. But mostly, I guess, I haven't seen any what I would consider to be style innovations or revolutions. There are some directions that I've seen in the past that seem to continue. But some technical things, you know, having to do with the way products are installed and assembled and potentially some performance attributes for wood floors.
A couple of things that, for one thing, there's a language issue here. You know, when you're talking about carpet, if you're looking for nylon, you're not going to find it here. It's actually called polyamide. And if you're looking for hardwood, you're not going to find that. That's actually called parquet in Germany, right?
That's right, parquet.
So, I mean, that's synonymous. That's really what that's how they describe hardwood.
That's right. In the U.S., we call parquet or parquet is more of a mosaic pattern. Here, it's any wood floor.
Okay. Now, a couple, you said innovation. I know one of the innovations that's being talked about here, for the longest time, I guess the joinery system for a floating hardwood floor was a Vilange system, and Unilin had a locking system, but it was more for laminate, and they're actually here rolling out a locking system for hardwood. Did you have a chance to go by and look at that?
Yeah, I went by there. It's for solid wood floors, which is the first one I've seen for a solid wood floor. All the rest have been for engineered wood floors.
And from your engineering perspective, what makes that a better design, do you think?
Well, I mean, first off, it's the only one I've seen used for solids. There may be some, and I'm not aware of them, but it has a little bit of an expansion plastic piece that, you know, kind of wraps around the tongue and gives it a little bit of movement for solids.
Okay, yeah, because it is, as most people know, solid wood floor does shrink and grow, doesn't it?
It does. It moves around a lot more than engineered.
Okay. And another thing that I saw just caught my eye over in Hall 9 was a company that's actually, you know, when you cut trees down, if you don't want to have any waste and you just want to trim the bark off, you're not going to get a very straight piece. You're going to get curved pieces. And this company actually is cataloging their curved pieces so that when you buy a floor, they ship you a bunch of little pieces that put together like a puzzle. Did you happen to see that?
I did see that. It was quite interesting. It makes you know, there's no straight lines in it. It's all curved. So they have to, I guess they scan it with a computer. It's about an inch thick. And they run this through a database, and they make the cuts in the wood follow as much as possible the shape of the board or the slice through the tree. And then they have to match it up with a piece that has a similar shape. And when they mill it, They match those two surfaces up. So it is truly like a jigsaw puzzle. They have to number it, and you have to send them the dimension of the floor. They have a special device that goes around and takes pictures of all the walls of the floor, because as most installers will tell you, no room is really square. It measures the deflection of the subfloor in the vertical manner, and then they put all that into the computer and design and make you a floor.
Actually makes for a very distinctive floor. I don't know exactly how pricing is. I already have trouble converting dollars to euros, but I've got to think that's going to be an expensive floor. But, you know, actually, I talked to him. That company's coming to surfaces next week.
Yeah, I guess so. It's going to be fairly expensive. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of probably $14, $15 a square foot.
Okay. Now, your new role after Shaw bought Anderson, you're actually, I guess, the CEO of Shaw's hardwood business. And what's your purpose in coming to Domatex?
Well, looking at new innovations as far as technical attributes of the product, either in the way it's installed or put together, also maybe some performance attributes to the product, finishes, that sort of thing, and also looking at style trends, colors, textures, and just generally what's going on in the rest of the world.
Actually, let's talk about that for a minute, because I just this morning took a tour out in Germany and in Hanover of some retail stores, and there are virtually no solid hardwood floors sold in Germany. The hardwoods that you see, which are sold under this parquet type of category name, are all engineered. None of them are 3/4 inch thick. They're thinner. And so styling in Europe is a lot different than the styling we have in the U.S., right?
Yes, it tends to be, I guess, more smooth. You have different markets within Europe. There is a very rustic market that likes wide boards, long boards, but to get that, you have to tolerate all the cracks and the knots, and they have a lot of filling. That tends to be more of a French or a Holland, Denmark kind of floor. And then you have very clean, pristine, very sharp edges, very little color variation. Those tend to be more Scandinavian and German and Swiss. And then you have the Spanish floors, or maybe a little more like the American floors, and then Italian floors, or a lot of species that are not common in the U.S., and a lot of color variation.
And I noticed that, as I've talked to in some of my other interviews, this show has a lot to offer, both on the supply side, all the way down to the installation side of the channels. And there's actually some veneer companies here too, aren't there?
Yes, U.S. veneer companies, and then also a lot of European companies that make various veneers. Unlike the U.S., a lot of companies here are not as vertically integrated. So there's a smaller, more niche type industry that maybe one country will have a number of manufacturers that do a very specific kind of product. They don't have their own sawmills, they don't have their own drying yards, but they buy those from other people. And put it into a very specific product. So there are fewer companies that are bigger. There certainly are some here in Europe, but a little different than what we have in the U.S.
Did Anderson ever come here and exhibit in your years of running Anderson Flooring?
Yes, we came here about 5 years in a row with the National Wood Flooring Association, and we exhibited. And one of the first things we brought over here was a hand scrape floor. But it's different getting into this market, because it is very, very localized. You don't have big distributors that will buy containers, or not as many that will buy containers and then stock it and then sell it. We had a lot of people that wanted to buy a pallet, and so we were faced with really having to set up our own distribution over here to be able to come into this market. You also have a lot of regulatory hurdles. The term parquet is actually a legal term that you can't put on the product unless you meet several testing and requirements. They have a kind of a code here that's mandatory to be able to use that. And it's quite expensive to get that approval.
Oh, very interesting. Don't tell me any secrets, but are you leaving with a notebook full of interesting information that you're going to take back and put into use with Shaw's Hardwood Group?
Well, we've got a few things that we're going to look at further. I wouldn't call it a notebook full. Compared to some shows in the past, I've seen less here that is new and innovative. I think it's the general economy everywhere is such that there are less kind of, I'll call them, idea or concept products. Everybody's kind of gone back to the basics. And there's also another show that's happening at the same time, which is in Munich. And so a lot of the wood flooring manufacturers that I would be most interested in are exhibiting in that show. And they either are not exhibiting here, or they have a lesser presence here.
So you're actually leaving here today and then going to that show next?
Yes, we're going to another show. And who knows what we'll see there, but hopefully get some ideas. You never know. It only takes one really good idea, though, to make it worthwhile.
Well, it's great to see you, Don. It's always good. When you travel overseas and you see somebody you know, it's always good to see a friendly face. Again, thanks for being with us. Again, we're talking to Don Finkel, who is the CEO of Shaw's Hardwood Business, and you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.